Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of Stand Up Sit Down. On today's show, I have the hilarious, the talented, the animated Vincent O'Shana. Stay tuned.
You are now tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Stand up, sit down.
There it is.
Ooh. Ford Explorer. Shamor, if I gotta get him to Florida. Come on, Jay. This is when I wanted to listen to it.
Yeah.
When he was what, like a 10 million?
Yeah.
10, 20 million. Now he's talking, I got billions and you ain't shit. I got the baddest bitch. It's like, all right, bro, I don't get it. I can't relate.
Yo, that was on beat.
That was good, right? No, I might. The hell with comedy. You want to manage me?
Yeah, you need to start rapping.
Yeah, let's get out of here, bro.
Get on your New York swag.
Hell yeah.
Vincent O'Shana.
What up?
What's up, man?
Chilling, bro.
How you been?
I've been good, bro. I've been busy, which is good.
Yeah, you've been out here working.
I've been out, dog. When I mean working, like, I literally have a job, and I leave my job, because I'm a host and security guard. Mm. I leave the job to go do sets on my break, do the set, and come right back to work. Yeah, I did that last night. And then awesome. I saw you last night.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
See, it's real, bro.
See, here's the thing. Like, if you're watching or if you're listening and you feel like you're grinding, you're not grinding if you don't leave your job and go pursue your passion for 15, 20 minutes and then go back to the job.
Yep. And then get yelled at by the manager because he's like, you said 30 minutes and you were gone for 42. And I go, well, the bitch before me ran the light. So what do you want me to do, bro? She ran the light. What am I supposed to do? I'm like, I'm lighting her in the back, too. I'm like, yo, I got to go to work.
Right. I still got a job.
Okay? Yeah, come on. Come on, man.
Yeah, because it's a weird thing that like comedians feel that they shouldn't have a job, that they need to, like, you know, live in the squalor before they make it.
Yeah.
Right. No, you need to be out here, like, you know, take care of your business, handle your bills. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, comedy clubs are open late, so like work during the day and then go out at night. Yeah.
See, it sucks for me because we don't open till like around, you know, 3 or 6, so they need us nighttime, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we're technically hosts, but, you know, you've seen that place. It's bananas, bro. There's people fighting, and it's drunk, and it's crazy. But, yeah, bro, and I think it keeps you, like, moving. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting around. I don't want to go on the road doing, like, whack gigs. I mean, L.A., there's, like, so many clubs. You can get up.
Right.
You can still, I know, I'm from New York. You get up a bunch of more times there, but you can still get up 2-3 times here if you really want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
So let's get into it. You're from Yonkers.
Yeah.
Right? That's how they say it?
Yeah, from Yonkers. And I gotta tell people, because a lot of people, they go, Yonkers? I'm like, bro, DMX, Jadakiss, The Lox, Mary J. Blige. I could keep, dude, that place, we produce a lot of
stars.
Dope-ass hip-hop. Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, so you need to quit this whole comedy thing.
I'm telling you, y'all guys heard the rap. Y'all heard the rap. I can do it.
Yeah. It's in the blood.
It is in the blood, bro.
That's what it is. It's in the water.
It's in the water. Yeah, everything's in the water. Like, hey, why is the pizza? It's in the water. Trust me, it's in the water.
Why are the bagels so? It's the water.
It's the water. We brought it here from New York on a train. No, you didn't.
What kind of kid were you growing up?
Oh my God, bro! If I just off of my mother's, from what I remember, from my mother, I was wild, bro. Mm. Everybody now thinks I'm on cocaine, which I don't do fucking cocaine, not this week. But listen, so no, I remember my mom stopping me at certain times, Nick, and as a kid, this before memories were starting to form, she'd stop me, and she's a great, great lady. Mm. She'd look at me right in the eye, and she'd go, "I pray to God." And mind you, this is a religious woman. She'd go to church every Sunday. She's like, "I pray to God that when you have a kid, it does to you what you're doing right now." And I, as a kid, I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
So I don't have any kids now because of her curse. I'm not doing it.
Ever?
Ever. I don't think I'm
going to
do it.
You're never going
to
have any kids.
Bro, to be honest with you, like, my brother has 2 kids. My sister has a kid. My brother's younger than me. My sister's older than me. But it's for some people.
Right.
And I love kids. They love me. I could play with them all day. I don't know, dude. I saw a husband yesterday with 3 kids. One of them was trying to run into the street. The other one was crying. The other one was punching the mother. I was like, I'm good, bro.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm living vicariously through my sister's kids and my brother's kids.
Right. There you go.
So,
yeah.
I'm good.
So you'll be great, great Uncle Vinny.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and then you can always, like, give them back. Like, that's the key.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when something's wrong, you just go, yo, I can't do it.
Take them. So you went to the Air Force after high school. What prompted that? Like, what makes you want to serve your country? And
to be honest with you, it was more of the getting out, not knowing what to do. Because me and my brother all were like a year apart. We didn't, you know, all getting out. My, you know, my father had a good job, but, you know, to send all of us to school would have been insane. So I don't, I honestly, I don't know. Because my brother joined first, and once he jumped in, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And I joined with my boy Jamal from my childhood joined with me. And then my sister went in after. So my sister's still in. My brother got out, and I got out. But I don't know, dude, it was weird. It was like we didn't, because in high school, I didn't even know my guidance counselor. Is that bad? Like, how did that miss?
I feel like you should talk to him at least once.
I never met the person.
Really?
I swear to God. So I don't know where the ball was dropped, bro.
Was it a big high school?
It was a big high school, bro. I went to high school at New Britain High School in Connecticut. It wasn't a tiny high school, but I never knew what that even meant, guidance. So that might be the problem. So whoever you are, if you're out there, bro, and you're watching this, fuck you. Thank you. Well, I mean, you know what? But
you
thank
gave
you,
me no guidance.
Because look where I'm at, though. I'm happy. I'm happy with whatever you didn't do to get me to where I'm at. Right.
Yeah.
Now.
See, so they were just guiding you from afar to make sure you didn't kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, no, he'll be fine.
Yeah,
trust me.
He'll be all right.
He'll wind up in the military, and then he'll get out, and then he'll start doing movies or whatever, and he'll be good.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah. So what was that like? Like when you enlisted and you signed up, and then you were like, oh shit, like we may have to like fight.
Oh yeah, dude. Because I was in the Air Force, like I said, and I was like an MP, I was a cop.
Mm.
But yeah, dude, it was just a crazy experience because it's just, you go from being like a crazy kid to thinking that you're this shit to everybody shows up, they cut everybody's hair, you're just shut up, nobody has any personality, you're just, but I mean, bro, I was a comedian, no matter what, it's right. Always been this, I got in trouble so many times. It was just, day one, I got in trouble and that set the tone. Like, that's when they went, we're going to fuck you over. Every chance we get. And
how long were you in the military?
I was in for 5 years. I was in during 9/11, and then when 9/11 happened, they did Bush and the administration did stop loss, which is like basically them saying whoever wants to leave, you can't. We can't afford. So it's basically like, imagine you're retiring, and they go, listen, congratulations and everything, but we kind of need you for as long as we want, and they just hold you. It's like being a prisoner.
That's crazy.
So then after 1 year of everything settled down and we started, you know, the bombing slowed down, they lifted it.
What was that like? Like when you're like, all right, like I'm going to be
God,
done.
Oh my God, that was bitter, bro. I was angry. I mean, I still did my job to the T. I was a fast, like climbing through the ranks. True, but I won like Airman of the Year and shit. I was doing amazing, but you got to get bitter. You're like, what the hell is going on? I did what I was about to do. I served my time. Let me
get out of here. Right.
Yeah, and then especially with that war, and it was a bullshit ass lying war with the you know, having weapons. So it was a bad taste, but it's all good.
Did anybody give you any shit because you were Middle Eastern during like this whole thing, or was it
while I was in?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, bro, not really. I mean, you kind of not want to tell people what you are, especially when those are the main people that were fighting, but. I think now I'm just on the point of just like everything that we started and all the shit that we're doing over there was all bullshit. So you kind of can't get mad at all these people being upset at us. So when people are like, man, you know, I've got some racist shit said at me, but I come right back like, you know what? Fuck you. You guys are the ones that started this whole shit for no reason.
Right.
So
money.
Yeah, exactly.
Money.
Oh, they got something there. We go there and they ain't got it. And then we go, well, let's just free them. What are you talking about, bro? Leave them alone. Leave us alone.
So what introduced you to stand-up?
Wow. Just growing up, dude, like, with my father, my mom, we'd all watch, like, George Carlin and Richard Parley. I mean, dude, we'd watch the specials, and just watching my father and my mother laugh, like, tears, like, crying, it clicked when I was young, and I was like, that's what I want to do. What he's doing to these people, that's what I like to do. And I was, dude, from childhood, I just loved making people laugh. It's almost like... not like a fetish. I don't want to say fetish, but it's almost... I love that I could do that.
Right.
And it's hard sometimes to get somebody that... Like, when I see somebody that's not a laughing, fun person, in my head, I'm like, I got to get them.
Yeah.
I want to fucking get a laugh and get them to like me. It's like, it's an acceptance thing. Like, we, you know, comedians, we want to be loved. Why else are we standing up there? Yeah, we're telling our problems, but I want you to like me. I want you to love me. You know what I mean? Like, it's a... It's weird to say it, but it's true.
It is like a very weird thing.
Big
to stand in front of a group of people.
Strangers.
Yeah,
every night.
Yeah.
Random strangers and have them all get what you're saying. You feel me? Mexican, white, black, happy, divorced, tall, short, female, feminine, whatever, gay, whatever it is, you got to get them all to go as a group, and they're all, they don't know each other either.
Right.
Like, oh shit, it's a beautiful thing, and I thank God that that's I found that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that I will say, I remember the first time I saw you perform, and I just watched, because your comedy, like, it's so animated. Like, you're so, like, I would compare it to, for those of you who've never seen Vincent do stand up, I would best compare it to Dane Cook in his prime,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
in the round, yep. very animated, this and yep. that. You gotta, you know, with the act outs and everything. Like, yep. that's what I would compare your stand up to. Mm-hmm. Just him
yep.
in his heyday.
Yes. And that, and I paint the picture. And for a lot of people out there that, you know, Dane Cook, they talk crap. And dude, that dude was, you got to give credit where credit due. That dude was on top
yeah.
of the world. Selling out Madison Square Garden, bro. And
twice, remember, I think. Yeah.
I think four. Oh, was it three or four? Whatever.
It was a four,
how about,
different
how about one one time?
Yeah.
Just. You sell out the Garden one time. That's Jay-Z yeah. during the Black Album type
right.
shit. Like,
right.
That guy's amazing. So yeah, dude. And I'm not gonna lie. When I was in the military, people would just go to rooms and just sit there and listen to yep. this dude. I don't care. You know, with all the, some people say he steals. Whatever the case may be, and I'm not saying the dude's perfect, but that's you're painting a picture for people. Some people just sit there, like, you know, the Stephen Wrights, and it's very right. wordy. It's very smart. I have the smart shit, but I still like to paint. I'm very, like, George Carlin was very,
right.
I think I get a lot of it from him too. He's very, like, when he was talking, like, you, like, I, and people, a lot of people, my friends make fun of me because the way that I talk, but I don't think that they realize that I got it.
It's from
watching
Carlin.
George Carlin. Yeah, yeah, I love that. Dude, whatever I'm doing in my house, if I'm bored, if I'm cleaning, if I'm doing whatever, either it's Pandora, George Carlin, and I, you know, they drop Louis C.K. and them in there once in a while too.
Right.
But I just go on YouTube and I just watch
yeah.
every special.
Just always studying.
He's amazing, yeah. bro. That guy's, and yeah. he progressively got angrier and angrier.
yeah.
Which Damon Wayans Sr. told me one day, he's like, the bitter comics, like, those guys are the funniest ones, because they have something to say, bro. Not right. just, you know, everybody's happy. No. You got no, a problem
and
with the
And he
world.
Was dropping so much knowledge in all of his specials.
Oh, my
and
God.
And because you sit there, and, like, a lot of stuff that he said back then, you can relate to what's
still going on
today.
Going
on
right now, yeah.
Like, that's when you know, like, your comedy, like, transcends time now.
Yep.
Because
yes.
you're saying stuff. I mean, and it's also kind of terrible that we're still having, we still can relate
yeah.
to the stuff that he was talking about 20, yeah. 30 years ago.
Yep.
You know
it's almost
I mean?
Like he was warning us, like,
right.
Nostradamus type shit.
right.
And we're just
right.
like, well, we're going to still do it. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So what was your first show like? The first time you actually got on stage at a real comedy club?
In a show? Or was it my first time, period?
In a show.
At a show? Because I did, like, a couple open mics, which, dude, they scared the living. Think yeah. about, I was in the military, bro.
Right.
Nothing the first time scared me more than going up there, saying shit that you think is going to go over because you practice it and you think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Then you go up in front of these people and literally, bro, all you see is, like, that look of where is the funny shit? Like,
right.
when are you going to say something funny? And, bro, that feeling scared me so much that I think it kind of, like, made me go, you know what? I got to get really good at that because I don't like that shit beating me, because that shit got me, bro. It messed with me for a long time. And then I did the first bit, like, really, really good show I did, excuse me, was it was like an Uncle Clyde's comedy contest.
At, oh,
like,
okay. At Flappers?
At Flappers. I'm sorry, no, well, the championship was at, like, the final round was at the Ice House.
Oh, okay.
Packed room. I mean, I brought a gang of people because I'm the only Assyrian
right.
comedian, and everybody came up, bro. It felt like, I felt that feeling of boom, 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 boom. It was all hitting, and I was like, okay, I figured that's it. That's what I want. I love yeah. that feeling. That yeah. was it. Even though I'm not going to front, I came to L.A. on some acting, because I love doing dramatic acting is my shit. That's my, comedic is my third.
Right.
It's stand-up, acting, dramatic, and then, yeah, for real, bro. I could totally 100% yeah. be in one of those movies where I'm like, funny how?
Yeah.
Fuck, you just made me break.
Right there.
Like, I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh.
Right, like a Jim Carrey
yeah.
in The Majestic.
Majestic, or The 24, whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, see, and I feel like, speaking of Jim Carrey, like, no one really gave him
a chance.
Real credit.
Yeah.
Because he was a phenomenal actor.
Ridiculous.
You
he's
know?
A great actor, yeah, but yeah. he's, I think he broke the the barrier of comedy so much. Yeah. People just saw his face and right. they thought funny that when he tried to go dramatic, people, even though they knew it was a drama, they're like, where's the joke?
Right.
I want to laugh because this dude's face is just...
Yeah.
He's a contortionist with his face, you know, just doing all the damn faces. So.
Yeah. What was the first bomb like?
Oh, my God, dude. I was... Oh, God. The first horrible bomb, again, was at the Ice House in that little... They have a little side room. Mm-hmm. And, bro, it was the two people, my cousin and this other guy, two other people on the right, and I did a joke. I did a sperm joke where I was like... you know, having an orgasm in a sock, it's just so stupid. It must be really confusing to the to the sperm, because they think that, you know, a sperm's, you know, it's meant to, it's programmed, like, once you're out, go to the fallopian tube, find that egg.
Right.
You do it in a sock, and it's, the sperm is like, like, come on, bro.
Right.
So I laid on the stool, bro, and I kicked the mic stand, and dude, it came down like a guillotine, like, chop! And if somebody was sitting there, they would have got sued. And the guy in the back just was like, oh, shit. And I was just like, dude, I turned white. Like, I was like, oh, my God, I want this. I did, like, 2 minutes. I just got off stage. It was bad. It was so fucked. Dude, it was so bad.
But
I'd rather jump out of a plane. I'd rather jump out of a plane. Yo, with no parachute, and I got to jump on the dude that has one. Like, come here, dog, and click onto him. Fuck.
Well, I mean, but what did you learn from that?
Oh, man, I learned not to do crazy shit like that, like jumping on a stool with my feet kicking off. But it was like, just you know, be prepared. Know what you're going to say and get up as many times as you can and practice. Because, dude, Albert Einstein said this quote. He said, it doesn't take a genius to do genius work. Mm-hmm. It just takes persistence. You got to boom, 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 keep doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. So it becomes like second just nature. Natural, you're just coming right out of your mouth. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you have a confidence. You have to... I used to write on my set list, just attitude. Whatever it is, if you're happy, if you're angry, if you don't sell out. Don't... Because the audience sniffs it out, bro. They collectively together go, this cat's full of shit. This isn't right. This isn't real. If you're going to say it, even if it's bullshit, the way that you say it is a...
It has to be believable.
100%.
Be, right.
And that's where your acting chops kind of come into.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do when someone heckles you?
If they're just loud and stupid, lately I've just been talking over because I don't want to ruin the show for people that are paying. But if they just be obnoxious, bro, there's something inside me. I don't like that shit. I go after them. I literally abandon the set, and I'm gonna pick them apart.
And you zero in.
I will murder you if you try to talk shit. And like,
ever backfired though? Like, have you ever like tried to get back on someone? And they were like real funny.
It backfired, but it kind of made the situation lighter because I was like something, something, something. And then there was a pause, and then he said something, and then they laughed, and I go, "You son of a bitch!" Like, and then I shook his hand, and then we went. So it was a backfire, but it actually worked.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you write jokes?
Every day, bro. Something's going. It's if I'm not writing it, the inner monologue is just all day. Or like yesterday, I was about to go up before my set, and I thought of a joke, and then I thought, dude, this is insane. I thought of an old joke that I haven't done, but then I had to really fast go on my phone and take that joke because let's say I had to do with fast food stuff, and mm-hmm. I go, oh shit, I could put that right at the end of it. So then I went up and I did that in that order and tested it out.
Did it
and
work?
I had to know the other one in a year. Yeah, and it went over good. Now, let's see if I remember because I didn't record it, but whatever. There's not a lot now that I know, though, that I could
go
into that order. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So then how long do you keep jokes? Do you throw jokes away?
Since the last thing I did was Def Jam, and the next coming thing is going to be the special for Comedy Central with Kevin Hart. Once that's going to be aired, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Once it's out there,
I'm done.
Yeah. So even if it's on YouTube, or will you still
do YouTube? Because some of the YouTube ones, like some people have recorded and put it up there, and some I've done other stuff, which legally they said you can still do it on another special, but you know we're gonna put it all over on our stuff. Once it's on air on a network like HBO or Showtime or Comedy Central, I'm not gonna do it again. I'm done. That's retiring.
What if someone likes it, though? What if someone's like, yo, do that?
I'm like, nah, shut up. Like, come on, man. Like, I want to try. Because you want to keep growing. You want to keep talking about other shit. So it's like, and you get scared. Sometimes you get, you know, you're like, fuck, I want to go up there and do great.
Yeah.
God, and you kind of divert to go backwards. But, you know, you got to keep going forward. And I got lucky, bro. I got the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood. It's like that's my home. All the other clubs you know, not talking down about them, but the HaHa, the owners Terry and Jack and their son Jack Jr. Just like a, it's like a family, bro.
Yeah.
Like I bring this dude Jack Jr. to with me to, you know, East Coast, see my mom and hang out. Like, you know, that if it wasn't for them, bro, the special that I just shot, where else in LA? I did 7 separate half an hour spots to get ready for the special. Where else in LA would I have? Nobody.
You right, only that get would just allow you to.
You get 10-minute sets right. if you can get up that many times in a week. So I went up every, and the owner, Terry, was telling all comics in group text, hey, you, nobody run the light. Get your ass off. This cat's coming in from work. Mm. Got to get up at this time and get the hell out of there. So, I owe them a lot. So, shout outs.
So they need a special thanks.
They need a special thanks to the HaHa comics. I hope they give me something on the credits so I can do it because they hooked me up.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because that's we're looking around summer possibly.
Yeah, I spoke to one of the producers and he said he's like, dude, the footage is dope, and I was like excited as hell. I'm like, it better change my life or else I'm gonna kick somebody's ass. No, but it was he said it, he thinks. I think pretty sure it's summertime. So I'm thinking like 2 months because they got to edit all. I think they did like 5 or 6. Specials.
How many shows did you do? Oh,
go ahead.
So how did this happen?
Okay.
And then it's like just what kind of walk us through it, and then we'll talk about the logistics.
Okay, got you. So this all started, bro, years ago. I was at the Laugh Factory. I think Cat Williams was actually headlining. So Cat was downstairs, dude. Packed Laugh Factory. You've seen that place. You can't stand anywhere. Pookie Wigginton's running around, right?
Chocolate Sundays,
which I'm performing tonight, right?
Nice. Yeah.
So he's looking for somebody, Nick, and I was like, I don't know what inside me went. Yo, I go, are you looking for a comedian? He's like, what? Like, what do you want? I go, Pookie, listen, if you let me cold open right now, like, dude, the crowd was just ready. I was like, let me cold open right now, 5 minutes, all right? If I don't murder, I don't know what came. I swear to God, I go, if I don't murder, you go punch me in the face, and I swear to Christ, he pauses. Dude, he's busy. Yeah. He looks at me and goes, all right, but I'm going to punch you in your fucking face if you don't kill. And he just disappears. He goes, yo, bring it. He looks at the manager. He goes, bring him up right now. And I went, all my boys are like, yo. So I go downstairs, bro. I'm telling you right now, and the same thing with my special, I couldn't have asked. I was, dude, my heart was about to jump out of my chest, but I was ready. All the open mics, all the shows. I went up there for 5 minutes, bro, and I literally just bum rushed him. I just gave it. I just went 5 minutes. I think I did like 2, maybe 3 jokes, and I got it, bro. It was almost like a standing O. And as I'm walking off, he walks up, all right, and he goes, "Time out." He's like, "Stop." Not the host. Pookie comes up. He's the producer of the show. He goes. He explains to the crowd how Chocolate Sundays, bro, like, it takes a long time just to be seen on First Impressions.
Right.
You get on. It's a big process. Then if you do that maybe 3 or 4 times, takes a year or two. Then you go to the graduate spot. Then you got to get passed and passed. Then you become a regular. It takes years. He looks at the crowd. He's like, all right, guys, listen. That's the process. He explained. And he goes, I'm making him right now skip all that. He's becoming a regular right now. Are you guys cool with that? They all gave me an applause. And then that was it.
Wow.
So years go by. I'm always at Chocolate Sundays. They always give me love. I just hit up Pookie. I'm like, yo, Pookie. I'm like, come on, man. You work with Kevin. I hit up Chris Spencer all the time, too. I always bust his balls. I'm like, Chris, what? Where are you at? Help me out. You know, I want to be on the Real Husbands of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And Pookie was just like, I got you. Tomorrow somebody's going to call you. And I was like, all right. I get a phone call at like noon. And they're like, hey, Vincent O'Shaughnessy, Pookie told me to call. Would you want to do a half an hour special? And initially, as comedians, bro, we're like, you know, where's it going to go on some website? Who's going to? Oh, and I was like, so is it, what are the details? They go, oh, blah, 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 blah. This is the money, whatever. Kevin Hart's going to present at Comedy Central. I swear to you, I went, yeah, let me think about that. Yup. Yeah. I go, I thought about it. I'm good. And then, Pookie, you know, they hooked me up, went through the agent, did all the contract stuff. And then I think they taped Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm.
Like they had two comedians a night. I think that there were 6. And then my agent was like, please, convenient, close them all out and do the Sunday last show. And we all get one. Excuse me, because you know, specials, sometimes they shoot them maybe 2 nights,
a couple times,
maybe 3 shows, right?
Right.
You know, same outfit, same everything.
Right.
This is a one shot.
So you had to get it
dog,
right.
Dog, you got to get it. You got to get it right. So that was the added
right.
thing. And I was very, I was more excited. There's nerves. I don't care. People are like, nah, man, you're nervous. There's something in the back of your head. I don't care if it's not your heart beating or you're sweating. It's like, oh, shit, bro, like, this is it. So, dude, I'm telling you right now, I walked out there and just the because, you know, I had a lot of family. Dude, I had, must have had like 100 people there, 200 maybe that I knew, in a crowd of like 1,800, 2,000 people. And, bro, once that first joke came out, I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I go, I'm on. And I did all my shit, and it was... I couldn't have asked, A, for a better turnout. Two, I felt like I brought it. And, like, you feel... You could tell. But, I mean, editing is a whole different story, but it just felt... It felt really right, bro. It was so... It was the highest I've ever been, I think, so
now,
far.
Now, you've done other TV spots before, so what was different with this one?
The half the, enough, the time, just bro. The time and the fact that, bro, like, it's called The Next Level, which is was brilliant, that even Pookie, who I love, was like, yo, this is it. He's like, this is your, you've put in the work, I've been here. Because, well, comics that have been doing it for 2-3 years, and they know who the hell they are, and all you guys that know what's up, know they're out there, they have some hookups, maybe their family's in, and they get in, they shoot specials, and it's not special. And right. I'm not saying mine's going to be something amazing and brilliant, but, bro, I've been in this game, I've been doing this for a while. I made a lot of sacrifices. I've been doing it for a while. I didn't shoot a special 2 years in, which I could have.
Right.
But I don't think it would have been special. So, yeah, dude, it was amazing. My sister was there. My niece came with her. Her boyfriend. It was just amazing, bro. I got really lucky.
How long was your set? Like the actual
I did
set?
30. I think I did 35 or 37 minutes.
Okay.
And they're going to cut that to the 22 or whatever. Gotcha. Because it's an interview. Since it's called The Next Level, it's going to work where, you know, Kev interviews you, questions you, something like this, makes, you know, funny stuff. I don't want to give anything really away. And then once the interview's over, he goes, all right, man, go out there and do your thing. It's shot on two separate days, but then you walk out and into the
stage. Right.
And then that. So, it's going to be.
Dope.
And I'm just really, I hope that, you know, that exposure gets me to where I could just do stand-up. And because I want to do other stuff. I want to be on a show. I want the world to get to see me instead of me wasting my time at a job, which it's driving me nuts.
What was it like getting that co-sign from Kevin Hart?
Oh, my God, dude. You have no... Like, it was because I've known Kevin before this, right? And I actually have a really funny story with Kevin. But just seeing him, and like, because you know Kevin, he's on top of the world. He's one of the most recognized people.
Yeah.
And that's hard work, opportunity, hitting at the same time, and he deserves everything. Just seeing him, and like, I was like, oh my God, bro. Like, for him to be like, this dude, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching it, and as it's happening, I'm like, it was almost like a dream. Like, I'm like, is this real?
Yeah.
And it was dope. And then, so yeah, he was up there, and all my family and friends kept saying, like, dog, we seen your set. We kind of know where you were going. He goes, we were looking at the mezzanine because we wanted to see how Kev was reacting. And he was hysterical. His whole crew was laughing. His wife was laughing. Iggy Azalea was there. She was cracking up. She came in the green room, showed. It was, thank God, thank everybody, thank all my family, all my friends. I couldn't have asked for it to go better.
What's your Kevin Hart story?
Oh, God, this is so... I don't know. Fuck. I want to... okay, so I was at Marlon Wayans' house, and we're all hanging out. Everybody's chilling, swimming, having fun. Kev shows up. We're all hanging out. I don't know if this other black dude was, I think, Marlon's friend or maybe one of the other family members' friends. Mm. And now it's, you know, competition. You know how just men are in general. They're going to do swimming... across Marlon's pool for money.
Okay.
So, you know, Damian Wayans is like, yo, Vinny, I'm gonna bet on the big black dude. I'm like, dude, I'm like, yo, Kev. Kev's like, let me explain something to you. Put your fucking money on me, dog. Like, and Kev's ripped in shape.
Right.
I go, all right, $100. All right, on your mark, get, whatever. Just get there, come back, however you can.
Win.
So, yeah, just win. All right. And I think it was freestyle. This one was a freestyle. Just go swim. So, bro, they go. This dude meets Kev, and it's like, oh, everybody's clowning, talking shit. I lost some money. Now, I'm not rich like these fucking guys. $100 hurts.
It's a lot, right?
You get emotionally attached to that. And I had it in my pocket, and I just got paid, bro. So there's shit talking, there's short talk, and yo, run it back. Let's run it back. And this story is a prime example of don't ever stereotype people, or don't assume, don't be this isn't racist, but it's don't assume anything about anybody, right? And this is where the moral is going to come in. So then they're like, yo, let's run that shit back. And Kevin, he's like, how much you want to go? And I'm like, he's like, 200. He's like, I'm not going to bet anything. I go, Kevin. And he's like, yo, dude, I'm putting a lot of money up too. Bet it, I swear to God, I'm gonna win this race. So now I'm $300 in. I put my money in, and they're like, which swimming move? They're like, whatever the hell you want to do, just get there and get your ass back. On your mark, get set, go. this fucking Kev is just fucking going like freestyle.
Right.
This fucking black dude jumps in and goes the entire length under. Under, flips, kicks all the way back like a fucking torpedo. A black torpedo gets out of the water, bro. They're laughing their asses off. I'm fucking furious at Kev. And they're laughing. Come to find out, this fucking asshole swam for his swim team in college. I'm like, how the fuck was I... How would I even guess that? Like, that's cheating, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not going to assume this guy... A black dude on the swim... I was like, come on, man. That's fucking not fair, but I deserve for fucking going... In my head, I wouldn't have in 1,000 years been like, this cat swam for a fuck... Come on,
right.
man.
Right.
So, yeah, I lost some money there.
So, like Kevin, did at least give you the
$300? No, fuck no. I lost that shit. That was gone.
That's terrible. So, because I kind of want to give people the context, because, you know, everyone just doesn't hang out at Marlon Wayans' house. So when you were discovered, like, when you were, like, discovered.
First time on something, yeah.
Right. Like, so, like, how did that happen?
Okay, I was doing open mics at the Ha Ha Comedy Club. And Shantae Wayans, who I love to death and I owe her big time for this. I did a set. I got off stage. She goes, hey, my uncle, I have no idea who she is. Mm. I have no idea who he is. She goes, he's doing a show for a show. I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. He's doing a show. I thought it was a comedy show. Mm. He needs a DVD of your... This is when, bro, none of this digital shit
right.
existed. You had to get a camera.
Yeah.
Bring it. Tape it. It was insane. Bring it to like one of those places to put on DVD. Long story short, I gave it to her. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from a producer. They're like, hey, can you come here audition for this thing? The sides will be there when you get there. And this was in North Hollywood. I walk in. It was called The Misters. It was a gay couple sitcom. So yeah. It was me and Shane Miller, one of Damon Wayans Jr.'s close friends, one of my good friends, too. We show up. We're out there. We know each other because, you know, we're stand-ups. We're going over the lines. Bro, I walk into my first audition. I haven't been in L.A. for more than 6 months. I look, and I see a big, tall black dude wearing, like, a yellow dope-ass outfit and the longest, like, yellow alligator shoe. Whatever they were expensive as fuck. And, bro, I walk by, and, like, he's talking to somebody else. It's fucking Damon Wayans Sr. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I'm like raised in Living Color,
right.
Homie the Clown, right. Major Payne, right. All these fucking Bulletproof.
Right.
You know what I mean? What was the one with Halle Berry?
I know what you're talking about.
With Bruce Willis was in
right,
it.
Right, it's not. Oh my God.
Don't
Be a Menace is coming up, but that's not it. You Low Down Dirty? No, was that? That was Keenan.
Yeah, God, yeah. Which one? Oh my God, the fact that I'm not gonna know
shit,
it.
I forgot.
The Last Boy Scout.
There you go. Okay. Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trivia, dogs, trivia. So, dude, I walk and I don't know why I wasn't nervous. I felt like I knew him because of all the. So, me and Shane did this scene, bro, and it went fucking. He was laughing. Everybody was laughing. I think Damon Jr. was in the crowd too. And then, bro, a week later, I was at the crib and just, you know, depressed. Life is horrible. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, at that moment, and then I get a phone call, and it's like, hey, how's it feel being a regular on the Showtime show, The Underground? And I was like, bro, you want to talk about losing, like, your shit and crying? I was like, I hung up, I called my mom, she was crying. Like, it was like the like, pyramid of, it kept going domino. Like, I cried, she called my sister, everybody was just,
right.
It was dope, dude. So that was the start, and then he brought me on the road with him, and then Sean and Marlon brought me on the road, and then... That's it. And then, you know, Chocolate Sun. Dude, I'm telling you right now, bro, like, this is black Hollywood life. I'm not even black, but for some reason, the black community has accepted
Shows
this
love.
Shit. I'm being real with you, bro. I have to look at the camera for this shit. Black people just have helped me out so much, from Pookie to the Wayans to, you know, dude, I don't know. And this is the truth. This is black Hollywood life, bro. And look at what you got me on here. I did Def Comedy Jam, which was it's predominantly black. Kevin Hart's thing, I was the only non-black dude. I thank you guys so much, bro. I give you guys from where black people came from all the struggle to everything, to where you guys are right now, to being Middle Eastern, to what the hell we have to deal with,
right.
Which is, you know, not, you know, slavery's fucked up, but bombs and all this craziness. I thank you guys so much for accepting me, and I'm pretty sure that's just from being from the hood, bro. We're
yeah.
You know, born in Yonkers, and then we got older. I moved to New Bern, Connecticut, bro. We had some thugged out gang shit, and it was street shit. Now the those are my people, bro. Black people, Puerto Rican people accepted me, so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
More than a hood celebrity, though.
Thank you. But I mean, like now I want to, you know, get to where, whatever, any right. outlet to where I can be on a show or do something, because I need to, I don't want to work, which I'm not complaining. I don't want that. I want to just focus on comedy, because I'm shooting a bunch of stuff. My Facebook fan page is starting to grow. I'm shooting other stuff on the side. You know, I've come up with another show. I'm going to be shooting a game show here shortly, which I don't really want to say anything, but it's different. But you got to, like, think about it. I'm a comedian. Why am I? I have no business technically doing a game show idea, but I got to do it, bro. You got
to. Well, and here's the thing, because I feel like creative types need to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
They need outlets to be creative. And so, like, being tied down to a 9-to-5 or being tied down to, like, a regular job per se, like, it's not gonna fuel you, you know what I mean? And that's not what the world needs from you.
Yes.
The world needs your talent.
Yes.
Especially in times like this. You know what I mean? Like, the world needs to laugh, and they need to hear your perspective, this and that, yada yada. So you know, I mean, but everything that you're doing right now, grinding and all this, you know, it's paying off.
Yes. Yeah, you know? You're right.
So as we close up, last question that I want to ask.
Yeah, let me get my Yankee hat right. Okay, go ahead.
Because I don't want to say coolest moment, because I feel like you've had some pretty cool moments. What is the biggest lesson you've learned in your career thus far?
Don't be fucking lazy. Do not, especially in this town, bro. You could easily slip the. Because think about it.
Yeah.
Monday here is liver than anywhere, any town, anywhere. I mean, besides like the big cities, Miami, and it's popping all the time.
Right.
The hottest women are here. There's drugs everywhere. There's something to do.
Something.
What time is it right now, dog? 5?
Yeah.
We could go somewhere right now and it's popping in North Hollywood. Yeah. Dope. Especially my restaurant. It's girls everywhere. This is dance studios. There's hip hop. This is the place to be. You just got to work, bust your ass. It's going to take a good gap. Just go hard as hell. Like and it takes a while, bro. You got to just literally have blinders on. Don't let anything. If you have vices, or you have like, if women waste time, or you just focus, bro, and don't be lazy. Laziness costs so much money, and it costs time.
Yeah.
And it just it holds you back. Just go. Just go forward. If it doesn't have to do with your career or making money, bro, the hell with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Last thing.
Yeah.
We have a minute. Last thing. Coolest moment.
Coolest moment in the comedy?
Coolest moment in your comedy career thus far.
Wow. Coolest moment. Well, shit. Right when you said that, the first one that came to my head was the first time going on the road. Because as soon as the Showtime thing was about to hit, we all, you know, I open micer to get on to start doing shows. Damon Wayans had a private jet that, you know, they rented or whatever to go to our shows, because we were popping on everywhere.
Right.
Bro, walking into that thing, and all I kept thinking in my head was, I was just in the military. I went home, saw my mom and my mom for 2 weeks, flew here, and within 6 months, I'm on a private jet. Homie the Clown is right there, and we're all bullshitting politic and writing jokes and just going. And I was just like, my God, eating like tuna tartare and shit.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was amazing. But I'll never ever complain about the journey that I've had or where I'm going. And it's just, we have ups and downs, but I'm happy, I'm blessed. I got a dope ass family. And
but now, real quick, let me ask this: after flying on a private jet, flying commercial
is the worst. You sit there like, who are these fucking peasants?
And I'm like, flying coach commercial. You're like, I can't do this.
No, you're like, what the fuck? Which drives you? Like, yo, I gotta get one of these. I mean, that's a fucking long shot, but
Dude,
thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah, where can people see you live next?
Okay, tonight I'm performing at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. 2 shows, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I go on at 9 o'clock, the first one. I'm at the Haha Comedy Club in North Hollywood on Lancashire Boulevard. Every week, bro. I work down the street.
Yeah.
That's my spot. If you want to see me, it's just my Instagram at Vincent Oshana. My Facebook is at Official Vincent Oshana. You can find me. All right, Twitter, I'm not a big Twitter dude. I'm not going to front.
You guys are tweeting.
You know what? My Facebook fan page is the one that I really like doing that. But thanks, pimp.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
And I love all of you guys. Thank you for watching, listening, and liking or loving me.
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, you know where to find me, all over the internet at The Nick Perdue, and now at The Nick Perdue 2. And I'll see you guys next time.
Put my glasses on real quick.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.